again, Gooners! Glad you could join me on the Loose Cannon News Flush. Aside from that, we have got, or I've got, because it's just me at the moment, I've got Fizzy calling the wild, or the world wild, the wide world web. One of those, or perhaps all of them. So Fizzy is on the road, and he's got the call of the wild, because I like the sound of Fizzy call. Fizzy call of the wild, get it? Anyway, you'll hear from Fizzy, proper Arsenal fan, coming up later. He'll be talking to, who's he talking to? I'm trying to remember. He's talking to Johan, a Swede, and he's also a Swedish Arsenal fan. That's an extra VIP title for that particular person, Johan. Shout out to you. And also, another person featured who's not an Arsenal fan, but he's very funny, I have to say. Marcus. I call him Marcus Rash, not Marcus Rashford, but I know he's a big fan of Marcus Rashford. I wouldn't mind if he joined Arsenal. Not the Marcus I was talking to, but Marcus Rashford. But talking of people joining Arsenal, that's what we're going to be discussing, or I'm going to be discussing first of all. I will be discussing arrivals and departures. So, who's coming, who's going out? I think you already know, so I don't think you're waiting for my news flush. Notice it's not a news flash, it's a news flush. Who's come in? Ceballos, Danny Ceballos. You might say he's already been at Arsenal, and yes, I know that. I'm well aware of that, but he's back, and he's back on loan. Looks like for another year, so that's pretty good news. In anyone's dictionary, that's good news. As well as that, of course, we have signed, or Arsenal have signed, Gabriel Magalhães, and he's joined on a five-year deal from Lille. It's going to be worth £26 million eventually. The only problem with that is lots of players are going to have to leave, and those players include Socrates. Socrates probably not exactly covered himself in glory, but he's not been bad. I think he's been a decent servant for the club, so he's not a player I particularly want to see leave. Then Rob Holding's another one who is destined for Newcastle. Some people say he will join on loan. I think that won't be the best move for anybody. Perhaps for Newcastle it would be good, but for Arsenal not so much. Kolasinac, he's got 2 years left on his deal. It's worth about £100,000 a week. He's set to leave. Callum Chambers also heading for the exit. It's getting very crowded around there. And also Mustafi. Of course, Mustafi's form's picked up a lot, so he's not a player that most Arsenal fans want to see leave right at this second. Well, he won't leave this second, will he? But he'll leave in the not-too-distant future, possibly. What with these additional players on the roster, something's got to be done about the huge wage bill. Hector Bellerin, of course, attracting a lot of attention from Paris Saint-Germain. So that's a possibility too. So it's not all good news. Obviously, it seems like good news after Arsenal beat Liverpool in the Community Shield. I nearly called it the Charity Shield, but basically the same thing. And, of course, we don't want to break up this team that's been successful, beating the likes of Liverpool twice, okay, albeit on penalties second time, but win's a win. I'll take them anyhow they come. And other action, of course, there's been a few players leaving. Ben Cheath is off to Coventry, and aside from that, there's been talk about Ainsley Miles leaving. He's been recently called up for England. He was a bit surprised. He thought he was being pranked, but well done, Ainsley. He's actually in the England fold now, so that's really good news for him. Interestingly, on Gabriel, I did want to say a few things. There's been a lot of strange publicity around him. According to HITC, one of the football websites out there, Gabriel has already annoyed some Arsenal fans on Twitter. I found that really hard to believe. You know why? You know why he annoyed them, according to HITC.com? He annoyed them because he kissed the badge. Really? I don't think so. I find that extremely hard to believe. As I said, there has been a lot of strange reactions to Gabriel signing, but most of it's come from Spurs fans, which is not unexpected. They've called him deluded. Again, this is on HITC. What makes me think that's run by Spurs fans, I'm not even sure. But they were upset because Gabriel tweeted, "London is red." And the issue was the colour he put first was white. He put white, then red in two dots. And then, of course, the Spurs fans reacted to that. And Arsenal fans, I think genuine Arsenal fans are really pleased with that piece of business. Obviously, at this stage, no one knows quite how good a piece of business it is. On the pitch, as I mentioned, there was the Liverpool game. And Fizzy, in his Call of the Wild, we'll be discussing that very, very shortly indeed. Another player who could be on the way out is Emi Martinez, if you believe what you hear. I thought it was really strange that Martinez played in the Community Shield. Not that he didn't deserve to, but I was under the impression he was in quarantine. So it came as a bit of a surprise when he was named on the team sheet. I was really pleased about it. And there has been talk that he could be on the way, but that seems a bit premature to me. There's also talk that on the incoming front, Thomas Partey could be set to join Arsenal. But I think when you're reading it on the Daily Express, you've got to take that with a huge pinch of salt, enough to give you a heart attack, really. So I don't want to have a heart attack, but I will read this to you from the Express. Arsenal are confident they will sign Thomas Partey from Atletico Madrid because of recent transfer developments, reports say. Arteta's very eager to sign the Ghana international. He knows a fee of £44.5 million, sounds a lot of money to me, will get the deal done due to a clause in the player's contract. Arsenal have enjoyed a solid start. Yes, we know all of that. So, and they claim that Gabriel's going to cost £22 million. And of course, those other loan signings we already know have become permanent. But that's old news. But most of the newspapers and media outlets are trotting out the same news again and again, and just trying to get clicks on it. You can't really blame them. But another maybe disturbing bit of news, if it is news, is Lucas Torreira. It looks like he's on the way out, and some people say that, or some reports suggest that Arteta has not spoken to him for some time. Whether that's true or not, it's hard to say, but I'll give you the source. Guess who? HITC, yet again. Arteta has not even spoken to one Arsenal player. Since when, though? Since an hour ago. A long time, is what HITC say. Yeah, so what is defined as a long time? And I have to read this story because, I mean, is it written as a laugh? I'm not sure. Anyway, it says, Arteta has not even spoken to Lucas Torreira for a long time. Torreira has been heavily linked with a move away from Arsenal this summer, and it seems his relationship with Arteta has deteriorated. Well, I wouldn't say it's improved because he hasn't played much, but then he has had injuries, let's face it. Anyway, it also adds, the combative midfielder remains fairly popular with Arsenal fans, I would say more than fairly, but he has never quite managed to break into Arteta's starting lineup on a regular basis. And then it continues, with Ceballos expected to return, he has already, and Arteta now wanting another central midfielder, it's difficult to see where Torreira fits in. And his exit looks inevitable. It actually says looks inevitability, so that's how much you can trust this article. And with Arsenal looking to raise funds, they will surely be looking to offload Torreira sooner rather than later. And Tutto Sport from Italy, of course, suggests that a move back to Italy is most likely, as plenty of Serie A sides are taking a look at the Uruguay international. So all speculation, that one. But on the other hand, wouldn't be that surprised if he does move on. Just talking of something that surprised me, maybe pleasantly, was Sanchez saying, Alexis Sanchez saying that he wanted to return to Arsenal when he first arrived at Manchester United. And I just thought I'd throw that in before you actually hear from a Manchester United fan. So coming right up now, it is the very first episode of Fizzy's Call of the Wild.
What are Arsenal expecting to win next season?
Oh, if we get Champions League, we'll be happy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. What are Liverpool expecting to win next
season? Yeah, for sure.
What are they aiming for? Champions League, Premier League.
Yeah.
That's their aim, right?
Yeah, but yeah, so they still want them. They want it to win, obviously.
Oh, I'm not disputing. I'm not.
Look at their faces.
Oh, yeah. You saw their faces when they lost.
Yeah, and the team that they put out. If you put out a muggy team,
I would say
you go
Trent minus Trent Alexander-Arnold. That's their best team.
And Henderson. I'm not a big fan of Henderson, but
he would start.
Yeah, he was over Milner, wouldn't he? Yeah. I think for them, and they want to win. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's not going to define their season. I think for Arsenal, for the young players that we have,
I think it did define their season.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Yeah. I think for Arsenal, Portugal players, young players, it's another trophy, it's another experience, and you know,
exactly.
It's probably more beneficial to Arsenal to
make the Niles going up and taking that penalty.
Yeah.
How much benefit has that done for him as a player?
Yeah.
As a young English player.
Yeah.
Taking a penalty, yeah, there's no crowd.
Yeah.
There's no crowd at Wembley, but he scored his penalty, did it well.
Yeah.
That's a big moment for him. I think Arteta is smart enough to know that. I think Arteta picked his team and especially picked his penalty takers.
Yeah.
Not necessarily about the ones who are going to score. I'm sure that was obviously.
Yeah.
I think he really cared about the impact it would have on them, on their development.
Yeah.
I really do think that.
He's sharp, isn't he, Arteta?
Arteta is exceptionally sharp.
Yeah.
I think he is exceptionally sharp. I think he is the potential to be one of the best managers in the world.
I was buzzing when we got him. Like Mourinho thing, obviously. And I was like, I don't want Mourinho, I want if we could get Arteta, because he's like, he's learnt under him, he's young, so he's going to get a bit of time.
Can you tell me why you wouldn't want Mourinho?
He's a drama queen. I think he makes it all about him. And I think United's an attacking footballing club. Like, if you think back to 15 years ago, or even 5 years ago under Ferguson, you played amazingly beautiful football, you were attacking, and Ferguson was very good in the sense that he didn't make it about him. He made it about the team, and it was, yeah, about the club. Mourinho, it's all about him. It's all about Mourinho. And Spurs, he's done the same thing. It's all about Mourinho. How does it reflect on me? You know, look at me. You don't need that drama. And Mourinho as well, for me, he doesn't promote youth players. He buys. And at Chelsea, he could buy big because he had Abramovich behind him. At Inter Milan, fair play at Inter Milan, he done very well. But then he bought particularly much at Inter Milan. But yeah, he's not one for the future. He's a stopgap almost. You know, he's one you'll go, we'll get instant success, but in 5 years' time, I don't think we're going to be any better.
You'll get instant success if you already have a team that's very close to that.
Yeah.
And Arsenal are not in that situation.
Yeah,
I don't think Tottenham are in that situation either.
Of course, no, I agree, yeah.
But there's a Man U fan who's just sort of beamed down and taken over, which is all right because he's full of lots of words.
I apologise.
And I like words. No, don't apologise because I've enjoyed it. But what I want to say, I want comments on this game before people get too tired to talk about it. So, Alex, first up.
Well, about the game. I thought overall we played well. There was a 20-25 minute period where I thought Liverpool bossed the possession. Yeah. At the beginning of the second half, I thought they looked like they were going to score.
And even those crosses in the box.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
And even though with the goal that they scored was sort of, wasn't a very Liverpool-esque goal, wasn't it? It was almost like an Arsenal mistake.
It was like a Messi goal. Messi as in not Lionel Messi,
it was,
just Messi as in Arsenal.
Yeah,
let's give him a goal.
It was a beautiful goal.
Everybody's interest up.
But I thought Arsenal played well overall. Like, I can't be too upset. You know, like, winning or losing is a meaningless trophy, isn't it? You know, yeah. It's nice for Arsenal players to have that sort of success to have, you know, but we've won at Wembley. We've beat, you know, in the last 10 months, we've beaten Chelsea, we've beaten United, we've beaten City, we've beaten Liverpool twice.
Yeah. You know, there has to be, albeit on penalties.
Yeah, but there has to be positive about the team sort of going forward.
Yeah.
I think the problem is going to be like the squad. Do we have a big enough squad to sort of?
Yeah. Well, and Elneny's come back, so how big do you want the squad?
I think Arteta he's a man manager, isn't he? Arteta, he works quite well. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Guendouzi and Ozil.
He did say that Guendouzi still have a chance.
Yeah, he has a chance. He's a young player, but I think there's an element of nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's they've offered Guendouzi to clubs.
Barcelona into him, I've heard.
They buy it.
I mean,
I sort of semi-believe it because I want to believe it.
Yeah, I want to,
But at the same time,
Barcelona want to buy
Guendouzi.
I've read it, I don't think it's true.
Yeah. I really like Guendouzi. I would never let him go because he's got long hair. But that's side. I don't want to get into that.
Similar hairstyles.
So I relate to Guendouzi.
don't get me started. But the thing is, it's not just that. And he doesn't give the ball away. And
He's not a mark, is he?
Somebody like, I don't even want to mention this guy's name because I get in so much trouble. I get closed down by people. Don't ever say Shaka gives the ball away in their own third, because he only does it, you know, every other game. He doesn't do it every game. You know, on the every other game, he gives it away twice.
But Saka's a funny one, though, because Saka, for me, is... Like, Arteta, the Arteta sort of effect, if you will, is evident. You know, you look at people like Saka,
and
he's massively improved. And I don't think he's improved much as a sort of a player in terms of his technical ability. But what he has improved is he's learned how to play into a particular system that Arteta has. And he's learned how to sort of be part of a team. Like, whereas Emery is almost a team of individuals.
Right.
And I think with, you know, someone like Zaka, someone like Mustafi as well. You know, Mustafi.
He's better.
If you said to me this time last year, do you want to sell Mustafi? I'm like, 100%. Yeah. I still would sell him. But I think we'd get more money for him. And I think that's a credit to Arteta. Arteta has basically had this almost like... Side with me, like, be on my team or get out.
Yeah.
And with Guendouzi and Ozil, they both chose to not be part of the Arteta project.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason why Guendouzi's had this second chance is nobody wants to buy him. You know, nobody's going to buy Ozil. Nobody's going to buy Ozil. Nobody's going to pay 350 grand a week for a 30-year-old who has a Fortnite addiction. You know, and this is a fact. Arteta, they've worked out the numbers. They found his account. Ozil plays 5 hours a day on average on Fortnite. Now, if you're a professional footballer and you're spent 5 hours slouched over playing a computer game, that can't be good for your physique. That can't be good for your mentality.
So, I'm going to come in here because I don't disagree with anything you said, other than what I'm not sure about, which is comparing Guendouzi to Ozil.
No, I'm not comparing the two. What I'm saying
I don't understand. If you can explain that, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah. Two players to be offloaded.
Yeah, they're two players that haven't got on board with the Arteta project. So if
why do you think, it's obvious why Ozil hasn't got on board with the Arteta project. I'm not going to waste anyone's time talking about that. Why do you think Guendouzi hasn't got on board?
I think he's young
and I think he doesn't know any better. Like, I think footballers, we have to remember, footballers are normally not the most intelligent of the species. You know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, most of them, I'm not trying to sort of...
We're not knocking footballers.
Yeah, I'm not knocking footballers. But remember, most footballers leave school...
Assuming that you're quite an intelligent person, isn't it?
Well, I'd like to think I have my moments. I have my moments. But certainly when it comes to sort of speaking in public, and certainly when it comes to sort of knowing the rules of... Yeah, remember, Guendouzi's 20. If you think to yourself, well, 2021.
Yeah, what was
you,
I like when
yeah,
I was
exactly. Exactly. Oh, what I mean, was I like? You know, and we do, you know, we're all lucky because we're all old men, comparatively at least. we didn't have social media sort of exposing every sort of mistake that we made.
Absolutely.
And I think Guendouzi, you know, social media can be a sort of a good thing or a bad thing. Guendouzi, when Arsenal won the cup final, he posted a picture of himself on holiday.
Yeah, and that was so wrong.
Which is an idiotic thing to do. But he's 2021.
Also, do you remember the party they had? They were doing like
The balloons. But Guendouzi got sort of vilified for it. But they were all doing
it. But there was a few. There was
nonsense. Because it's nitrous oxide. It's not like they're inhaling heroin or whatever.
Still, they're professional footballers.
I wasn't happy about it.
He's young.
Yeah.
But he should be.
Yeah, but he. But he.
Sitting down.
Wasn't there like Lacazette there? There's lots of older players there. You know, you can't. Discredit Guendouzi for that because there are other older professional footballers.
I do.
And they dragged him in. I feel like that.
Yeah,
I don't think. My own narrative there. Guendouzi got dragged there. See what I mean?
I don't think Guendouzi was the sort of the guy that said, let's do this.
I don't think so.
I'm in the start of my career.
Yeah, true.
So it's the blame to one of the players who the senior player is what I'm hearing.
I think there's more.
Blame, or is it the fact that
unfortunately, these days, players are recorded and seen to be behaving in this way that everybody behaved previously. If you go back 20 years, I'm sure Arsenal players were doing that.
Or the Tuesday drinking club. So, you had the Tuesday drinking club.
If you're coming back into the modern time, you know, who's to blame?
Anyway,
I would say, as an outsider and not as an Arsenal fan, I would say that the blame is on the marketing system of Arsenal.
But it's a newspaper.
Sure, but we talked about this before. Let's get back to the actual game today. I mean, they aren't rocket science. So let's get back to the game.
Sure.
So,
what do you think of the game? Was it?
Well, I was nervous about the game, you know, because to win that game was tough, you know.
Yeah.
When Liverpool had so much possession, I think you
recorded it. In the second half, anyway.
60-40. Yeah. Liverpool, 60-40.
Yeah. I thought it was
possession.
More, actually.
I don't worry about possession, but I'll tell you what I do worry about is crosses in the box. And Liverpool put so many crosses in.
Well, Robertson especially, didn't he? Yeah.
You know, Martinez had a great game today. I'm not knocking him. But there were quite a lot of crosses going in.
Yeah.
No one's claiming it. I'm not blaming Martinez, but no one in defence was heading the ball out.
No, but when you're putting a cross into that sort of, that, I said it to you, the area of uncertainty.
That's the one.
You know,
one
you put it into that 6-yard box, you've got the centre halves, it's behind the centre halves in the sense, it's between the goal and the centre half. That's a quality ball. And
so
as a kid, you get taught, put that ball into the box, see what happens. It's a percentage game, isn't it? It's a percentage game. Put that ball into the box and see what happens. If the striker gets their first happy day. But the defender, and I, as a defender, I know this. As a defender, you have to go, I have to do something about this. I have to.
And Arsenal did it.
That's how Liverpool won the league, isn't it?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
I'm so good at crossing the ball, and it just really
Robertson
doing
is
my head in.
Absolute
so it's
class.
A good job we ran the conversation, keep my mind off the game, because I was seeing balls going in, and it was just relentless. Relentless balls going in. Martinez couldn't catch it. The holding couldn't head it. I'm not knocking holding, by the way, because I rate him. And even David Luiz, who some of
them say, I think it's just the quality of the ball. If you put that ball in between the centre halves and the goalie, it makes them make
almost
a decision.
They were almost undefendable.
They were undefendable.
And Liverpool were doing that endlessly, and it scared the hell out of me.
I didn't see anything that was dangerous in terms of moves, in terms of passing movements. I did not see a single moment from either team that I thought was a dangerous passing movement that's going to shred the other defence.
And even
I didn't see a single moment where that happened. And other than the moment when Liverpool, well, they were throwing in crosses, but they were generally being dealt with, like you said. But I think the most important moments of that game were in the penalty shootout. That was when you saw Arsenal players and Liverpool players. Because let's be honest, this is a game about confidence. This is a game about progress. This is a game about practice. This is not a game about. This is not the FA Cup. You've won the FA Cup.
The whole game.
This is a
like
game
a friendly.
About.
It really.
And it is a friendly. And it is a friendly. And I'm saying to you, yes, it is a friendly. I'm saying the most important moments for me that were in that game. Everyone knows Aubameyang is the best player on the pitch.
Wow.
To be honest.
How the hell did he score that goal?
He has been.
Get my head around it.
That's Henry.
I think actually Aubameyang has shown himself to be one of the best players in the world. In the last couple of months at least.
Yeah. I was worried when we signed
him. However,
I thought he passed his peak, but clearly not. Yeah.
Clearly not. However, I think that the most important moments in that match was the penalty shootout.
Yeah.
Was the young players standing up and making that shot. I think it actually was I think Arteta knows that as well.
I kind of feel sorry.
I think Arteta, in a weird way, would have loved the fact that it went to the shootout.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to see his young players have
step
that
up.
Fucking pressure.
Yeah. I kind of feel
and
sorry
make
for
those
this.
Shots. I think that is great for those young Arsenal players.